You're listening to a 95 BFM podcast.
You're on BFM, Atamarie, I te whanau, kei te whakarongo mai nei ki te reo irirangi poho. This morning is a really interesting date in history, and we have got author and historian Andy Neil in the studio to chat about his brand new book, When We Was Fab, which is about the 60th anniversary of the Beatles' only visit to Aotearoa, which happened in Auckland, specifically on this day, back in 1964. Kia ora, Andy, how are you this morning?
I'm very well, thank you. How are you?
Good, congratulations on this. I've got it in front of me. I feel like giving it a bit of a radio tap or something, but this is a tome. This book is hefty as.
Yes, it's good for holding doors open.
And going really deep on some fascinating pop cultural history here in New Zealand. So what is the significance, I guess, is a good place to start, of the Beatles, you know, first and only tour to this country?
Well, from my perspective as an author, what interested me most of all was that they actually did come here, because they were so busy. And in retrospect, when you look back at the Beatles' career, you know, they were making records, making films, you know, photo sessions, writing songs. Did they actually have time to come all this way down here? And when I was too young to be a first generation Beatles fan, but in the 1970s, being the youngest of four kids, I inherited all my older brother's records, of which the Beatles was a major part of it. And one day, I think in about 1976, I saw a clip on it. It was still, I think, it may have been Television New Zealand by that point, but it was a show called The Grunt Machine, which became radio, eventually became Radio Pictures, etc. And they showed a clip of the Beatles arriving in Wellington, you know, doing the hongi and everything. And I was like, my God, they actually came here.
Yeah.
And that's what planted the seed, you know, and I wanted to, like, learn as much as I could. And so I just started foraging for photos and newspaper clippings. And people of a certain age, I would harangue them. Did you see the Beatles?
Did you
Have
see
you
the
any
Beatles?
Memories?
Yeah.
And that's basically the seed of, you know, what the book has become. You know, it was really just a private passion that sort of turned into a sort of a piece of social history.
I mean, that's the best kind of anything. It's when it's something you personally really are interested in, working out why this was a fascinating moment, and then being able to bring other people into that conversation too. It is really, I mean, there's nobody bigger than the Beatles. Like, they are pop culture. That is, they've shaped so much of the way we sort of view celebrity, the way we think about music as an industry now. It's quite remarkable to look back. You know, they were so young when they came here too, really, really fresh-faced. Yeah. What was the context in terms of the kind of career and the lifespan of them as a band? What context were they arriving in New Zealand, you know, in?
Yeah, well, remarkably, they're only a year into their fame.
Wow.
I mean, 1963 was the year that they broke England and became huge there.
Mm.
And, you know, it wasn't just a little small incremental steps. They just suddenly had a number one record. Their second record, Please Please Me, got to number one.
Yeah.
Started, and then the next one got to number one. And that was around about the time that the negotiations for the tour started, because Kerridge Odeon, who were the New Zealand promoters, Sir Robert Kerridge, he used to partnered up with a guy in Melbourne called Ken Brodziak. He had a company called Aztec Services. So Kerridge Odeon and Aztec Services would get together and jointly bring over entertainers from primarily Great Britain. And they had a talent scout in London who sort of kept his ear to the ground and told them if there was anything that was bubbling up that was probably worth, you know, taking a punt on in terms of bringing out for a tour.
Mm.
And in July of 1963, in the letters in the book, they wrote, there's a guy in Liverpool called Brian Epstein who's got this little sort of like management stable of groups. And there's one band in particular that are really making a bit of a noise here. They're, you know, their records are charting highly and people are starting to talk about them. And Ken Brodziak, who was sort of like the main wheeler and dealer, said, well, I'm coming to London. I'll meet with you and we'll discuss it. And so in July of 1963, you know, the foundations for the tour started. He met with this guy and there's actually his rough notes in the book about, okay, the Beatles, four guys, guitars, drums, they want this much per week. And it was
amazing.
I think it was £1,500 per week
for
10 playing shows. Well, it was. The whole thing was the showbiz steal of the 60s.
It's amazing.
And the actual, you know, the organisation and the planning of the tour and the actual booking happened a year before. Mm. But as I said, they were only a year into their fame. But by the time the Beatles came to Australia and New Zealand, they'd conquered America.
Yeah.
And promoters were offering them something like $40,000 just to play one show.
Wow.
And we got them for £2,500 a week.
Wow, that is pretty incredible. And, you know, what was it like when they arrived in New Zealand? What was the reaction from the New Zealand public? For people who, you know, there's like now quite a few generations that have, you know, had their Beatles relationships, you know. Mm. But, you know, what was it like at the time that people arrived here?
Well, there's a strong case to make that the Beatles arriving in New Zealand actually kickstarted the 1960s in New Zealand, because New Zealand was still living in the shadow of the 1950s. You know, it was a very comfortable place to live, but it was very conservative. Keith Holyoake was the prime minister. Mm. You were expected to be deferential to Queen and country, and, you know, non-conformism was frowned upon. So the Beatles, this sort of force from overseas with that sounded different but also looked different, you know, when you look at the photos, it's hard to get your head around that people thought that was long hair.
Yeah, yeah.
And it was a real social divide. People, the letters to the editor, like, you know, they shouldn't come here until they have a haircut and things like that. It was just mad. And so that was a real galvanizing effect on a lot of young New Zealanders.
Yeah.
Not just so to question authority, but also to, like, you know, there'd been a music industry in New Zealand, like a rock and roll industry, if you like, since the mid-50s.
Yeah.
But this was sort of like the real catalyst, and you had people like Ray Columbus,
yes,
and Larry's Rebels, and then, you know, it carried right through. And you could say that the Beatles was the line in the sand that started it all.
Yes, really interesting. And this book, I mean, it really has got some incredible stuff. As you said, like, it's got the, you know, the tour notes and the sort of booking agent notes and stuff, but also it's just got some really remarkable photos. It's quite fascinating to see.
Well, that photo you just paused on there.
Yeah.
Look at that. Two young Beatle fans at the airport, and there's Grandma.
Yeah.
She may not even be that old. Everyone looked older in those days, but look at her. She's got her I Love the Beatles rosette, you know.
And, huge, big, you know, like,
so that
lanyards.
Was it. I mean, it wasn't just young kids. It was everybody got swept up in this whole epidemic. That's
it's
the only
amazing
word for it, really.
Yeah, an epidemic of Beatles. Mm. But, I mean, the ephemera that you've managed to gather together for this book is pretty impressive. How did you sort of source it all? What was your process like?
Well, it wasn't easy.
No.
As I said before, it started off as a personal hobby, and, like, whenever I would find photographs, and also when eBay came in, you know,
yep,
you always keep an eye open for things, because things turn up in the most unlikely places.
Yeah, I bet.
So it was just a case of, like, myself, and I should mention co-author Greg Armstrong, who did more of the Australian side of the tour. He and I were just like, you know, we're interested in research, and we're interested in sort of getting to the nub of the story. And so, as well as collecting photographs, we would go to the state libraries. Like, I went to the Auckland Public Library, for example, got out every New Zealand Herald and every Auckland Star.
Amazing.
From 1964.
Yeah.
Not just for when they were here, but I started at the start of the year, because
yeah,
I wanted to put it all into context sort of illustrate this sort of seismic shift, you know, like, because at the start of the year, the Beatles were practically unknown in New Zealand.
Mm.
And within a matter of days, I Want to Hold Your Hand comes out, goes straight to number one.
Yeah.
And all these sort of like surf type bands and all that was suddenly like the Mersey Sounders coming into all the advertisements, and all these guys start growing their hair and get a vocalist, because they were primarily instrumental, you know.
How fascinating.
So it was just, you know, it almost changed overnight, really.
And, you know, to reflect on something like that, it is really hard, I think, to imagine the world pre-Beatles, you know, at this stage, because they have become so ubiquitous in the way that they've shaped things. But it is a fascinating way to kind of, I think, understand through reading this book and through looking through it, how that pop cultural moment came to be in our relationship to it here. You're celebrating this tomorrow night, is that right?
That's right.
Yes.
At Big Fan in Morningside.
And
yeah.
How do people get along to that?
I think there's tickets available on the website. There's probably tickets available on the door, so come down.
Fantastic. Andy, it's been fantastic to chat with you about When We Was Fab. This is an absolute must-have book for a Beatles fan or a history nerd. A really fantastic collection of, you know, a history of this country and that really legendary group. It's been a pleasure to have you in the studio today. We are going to listen to Twist and Shout from the album that they would have been kind of riding the high on at that moment. Please Please Me. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you for having me.
That was a 95BFM podcast. Support 95BFM with a B-card. Go to 95BFM.com/signup.